Father, I just thank you for this opportunity for us to all come together, Lord. We just recognize you here with us. We just make space in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, that your presence and your wisdom would fill us, Lord, that the revelation of your word, Father, would be light to us, that we would grow by it, Lord, that the word that we're about to receive today, Father, would be life-transforming, Lord, word that we can use day by day, that we can glorify you and have good works in our life, Lord, that the kingdom of God will be manifested through us in the world, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. You know, when I was just becoming a Christian, I didn't have other Christians to help me be a Christian. I'm honest. I did it all by myself. And I didn't know what anything meant. And so I went and I applied at a college in Oregon, Portland, Oregon, called Multnomah Bible College. And I thought, well, heck, if I'm a Christian, I should probably go to Bible college, right? So I went to the Bible college and I got an interview to see if I can be accepted into the college. And we were talking back and forth, and I gave him my testimony, and I think he kind of got blown away because I was telling him how I went to heaven and how I've met Jesus face to face and how I've had these experiences. And he was just like, and all he could say is, "Praise the Lord." And I said, "Is that a statement or am I supposed to do something?" Because I didn't know. I didn't know that praise the Lord means praise the Lord. Praise him. You know, angels in heaven, I just want to let you know, if you say praise the Lord, they scream, they shout hallelujah. They don't hold back at all. They love the Lord. They really enjoy him. And I guarantee you, you will too. If you don't now, you will. God is so good. So we started out talking last week about the grace of God. Y'all remember? How many even went over your notes at all? Thought about it at least once throughout the week? Oh, good, couple of you. Great. So I want to expand on the grace of God today. I want to just elaborate a little bit more about what we received when we received this grace of God. Is that okay with y'all? So let's just recap a little bit. We'll look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 again, just to remind you. And then I'll give you the definition that I gave you last week of grace. But then we're going to expand on it today. Is that all right? Okay, so go with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 2, let's look at verse 8. Are you there? If you don't have a Bible, there should be Bibles in the pew in front of you. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is what? A gift of God." So we've been saved through faith, and it's a gift of God. So this grace that saves us, we have to receive it by faith. So in other words, we have to accept that it's true when there's no evidence of it at this particular time in our life. Can you receive that? Grace by faith. Okay? So we're receiving this grace that God has given us by faith. That means we are going to have to call things that be not as though they are. Does that make sense? So in other words, the world believes something when it's a fact in this natural world that they can test or prove through math or science, okay? Usually hands-on, when their five senses can really touch, taste, smell, or hear it themselves, then it's more real to them, this natural world. But the kingdom of God works the opposite way. Remember when I said that this world you work first and then you get paid? But God paid us first, and so now we do good works because we got paid. See, it's a little bit backwards. So in the kingdom of God, we believe first, we believe God. Then as we believe God, that starts manifesting in the world around us. So we receive what's real, which is in the spirit, first. And as our heart can accept it as real in the spiritual realm, and we call that the truth, then as we don't change our mind, we don't change our words, we don't change our position, as we consistently stay there, it will manifest in this world, right? Just like you take a seed and you stick it in the unseen realm of the ground. And when you stick it where you can't see it anymore, literally where the sun doesn't shine, in the ground, and where nobody can see it, you are trusting that what is inside of that seed that God placed inside of that seed will be activated. And the thing that you planted, you'll receive the crop of it. Are you with me? So, it is through faith that we receive this grace of God. And what was the definition of grace? Some of you wrote it down. I'll read it to you again. The Strong's translation from grace, which is G5463, is graciousness as gratifying of manner or act, abstract or concrete, literal, figurative, or spiritual, however you want to look at this, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So this grace that we've received by faith, that we have all are to lay hold of, is God's personal person influencing our heart with himself that changes us. Because as I told you last week, we learn by what's modeled to us, not what somebody says. What's modeled to us. The examples that we have is what trains us on the inside. And by God being with us, it starts transforming us, and then its reflection is in our life. These changes of knowing God, you can start seeing it in my life, right? Because something different has happened inside of me. Now I've been born of the Spirit. We call it the born-again experience. Can you all relate to that? So, when we've been born again of the Spirit, we start having spiritual influence in our inner person. And the spiritual influence that comes from the Holy Spirit of God in us starts transforming us to be like Him on the outside. So as we start changing how we see ourselves on the inside by God's influence in our lives, by reading the Bible, by seeing it, by fellowshipping with God, communing with the Holy Spirit, our lives start being shaped and changed to look like Jesus' life on the earth, right? So, I want to talk to you about another aspect of grace today, which is God's favor. This grace that we've received is favor from God. Now, sometimes we think of this in kind of a shallow aspect. I have God's favor. Oh yeah, I have God's favor. Oh yeah, God favored us by giving us Jesus and paying the price for our sins. That's huge, but it's so casual to so many people. But it's really huge. So if you go with me, let's just expand this just a little bit and let's look at God for a second. Go with me back into the Old Testament to Exodus 33. We're going to look at Moses interacting with God. Now you all know Moses interacted with God face to face, right? Okay, so we're going to look at how Moses was interacting with God in Exodus 33 and then a little bit in 34. We'll jump across. So this is where God is telling Moses he's going to take him into the promised land. But Moses is a little skeptical because Moses has spent enough time with God now that he knows that people without God cannot accomplish great and mighty things. They need God with them to do that, and Moses knew that. So this is his conversation with God. Starting in verse 13. Now therefore I pray, this is Moses talking to God, If I have found grace in your sight, so we'll just use this as favor. If I have found favor in your sight, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. Love you, Holy Spirit. And consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you. So now we're equating God's presence with his grace. And I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. In other words, if you ain't going with us, don't take us there. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all peoples who are upon the face of the earth. So now he's declaring that by your grace, the favor that we found in your sight, your presence is going to go with us, which is going to prove that we're your people. We're different from everybody else on the planet because your presence from your grace is going with us. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken. Boy, that's a whole teaching right there. I just want just a commercial. Whatever comes out of your mouth, God gives you. Just want to let you know that. And when you mix belief and faith with it, you get it in spades. He gives us what we say because God created by words. And so you'll see this over and over in the Old Testament that God says to Moses, as you say, I will do. Because you said it, I will do it. Because they said it, I will do it. Even the bad things, just want to let you know. So, in my sight, I'm in verse 17, and I know you by name. Let me read that again because I broke it up. Verse 17, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will be I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So this is God talking to Moses. And Moses wanted to see God's glory, which is a reflection of how God is. And he says, I'll show you my goodness. I'll let all my goodness pass before you. So we were going to label God. How does God label himself? As goodness. God labels himself when he's talking to us and describing himself to us. It's goodness. The world and the devil and your carnal mind trained by the world has a very difficult time accepting that. I just want to let you know. So it's by faith we receive these things. We have to retrain ourselves and our senses in these things. Jump over to chapter 34 with me. And this is God talking to him again. Now he asked him to pass before him, and now the Lord gave him some instructions about making the tablets, remember that, out of stone. And so now this is the Lord talking to him. Verse 6 of 34. And we'll read 6 and 7. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. This is what he said. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in what? And truth. Goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions of sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. He just proclaimed his name. I'll read it again, starting at the Lord. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness. Abounding in goodness. Just overflowing with goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins. By no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So God's proclaiming a few things here that some of it we love, some of it we don't love. But he's telling us who he is in this. Is it any surprise? To some it is, but to others, no, it's not. Listen, we're going to go back. Let's go to John chapter 1. Let me just go straight to there. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. God is good and the devil is bad. We need to get that down in our hearts. Because it's very easy when bad things happen, we say, God, why did you let that happen? Right? It's very easy to do that. And my reply to most people is, did he ever stop you from doing something wrong? Why would he stop that other person from doing something wrong? God doesn't do it. It's the devil and the influence of this world. John chapter 1. Oh, I should start in verse 14, but I'm not going to. In the beginning, verse 1, let this sink in. You might need to read this about 25 times slowly and really look at what's being said here. It's not casual. Ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That's worth meditating on. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, that's the Jews, and his own did not receive him. Look at this verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave what? The right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So it is your right to be the child of God. If you come to him believing in the name of Jesus, it's your right to walk in the things of God. It's your right to be like your heavenly Father. It's your right. 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I'm going to read that in another translation in a minute. It'll help on that. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Full of what? Grace and truth. Doesn't that sound like something we just read when God was proclaiming his name? John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And you do know that John the Baptist was actually older than Jesus, right, on the earth. So he's talking about that Jesus came from heaven and not, he wasn't born before him. And of his fullness, we have all received. And what? Grace for grace. We've received grace, favor for favor. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I'll finish this. 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Let me read this in another translation, just the last part. And I'm going to read it in the Williams translation, and I'm going to read 14, 15, 16, and 17. So just take your time, close your eyes, and just listen to this translation, okay? So the Word became human and lived a little while among us, and we actually saw his glory, the glory of one who is an only son from his Father, and he was full of spiritual blessing and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "For this was the one who said, 'For one who is coming after me has been put before me,' because he existed before me. For from his bounty we have all received spiritual blessing after spiritual blessing. For while the law was given through Moses, spiritual blessing and truth have come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, deity himself, who lies upon his Father's breast, has made him known." Just get that word picture in you. Spiritual blessings he brought to us. This grace, this favor. Jesus was the embodiment of God on the earth for you and me. He brought us these things for us to lay hold of and apprehend. Are you with me? Paul had a revelation of it like nobody else. Go with me over to Ephesians. We're going to go in chapter 1. I just want to read a short portion of Ephesians chapter 1 to you. Starting in verse 3. So, what Williams is doing, the Williams is a translation of only the New Testament. I love the way he writes some things. He's saying that this grace is spiritual blessings that we get from God. We love the word blessings. That's a great thing. We have received blessings from God. But he made a point of saying that it's spiritual blessings that we've received from God. This grace and this favor, remember, it's grace by faith, not of works, so that none of us can boast. It came by Jesus Christ. So this favor, this goodness, this spiritual blessing that we've received from God, we have to lay hold of it by how? By faith. Why? Why do we have to lay hold of it by faith? I have just told you. Because it's in the Spirit. Right. Because everything that God gives you is in the Spirit. Why? Because God is Spirit, and those who know him, or those who are called to him, or those who come to him, must come to him in spirit and in truth. Doesn't it say that? When Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, doesn't he say that we don't worship in Samaria? I don't know, what are you doing, Lord? Or in Jerusalem, but every one of us will be able to worship God on our own. We must come in spirit and in truth. In truth. And so many of us don't come to God in truth. We just want something from him. Or we want him to fix something somehow or to bless us. But we have to come to him in our spirits, truthfully for him, not for what he can give us. We'll get every good thing from him, but it's out of the intimate relationship with him. And the woman in the well, she dropped her water jugs and took off running and told everybody about him. Because that was really good news. I don't know what's going on. The Lord's just really blessing me right now. All right. Ephesians chapter 3. I just want to read a little bit to you here in chapter 1. Paul's got this revelation of the blessings of God, of the grace of God, like no one else ever had. You know, the word grace is not mentioned very much in any of the Gospels. You know that? Paul's the one that had the revelation of the grace. It's mentioned like 4 times in the Gospels as grace. It's favor a few times also. But the real revelation came by Paul, who had a supernatural experience with God, which opened his eyes to see Jesus in an entirely different way than the disciples saw him. So in verse 3, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, done what? Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." You know, I'll tell you, that's something to really meditate on. Holy and without blame before God. That's how he wants you. So that there's nothing you can be blamed of. Not by changing your behavior, by accepting the free gift of God. He doesn't blame us. We are holy, just like the Holy Spirit in his sight. We are pure. That word holy is hagios. It's the same word for Holy Spirit. It's only translated 2 ways, saints and holy. That's it. So he's calling us saints. He's calling us his holy people. The world doesn't look at us that way, but God does see you absolutely that way. That's how he interacts with us. Without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us, that's, he predetermined our destination. He pre-decided about us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Look at this. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us acceptable in the beloved. By his favor on you, by his goodness towards you, he made you absolutely perfect in his sight. Some of us have some things to work out to where when we look in the mirror, we see the same thing that God sees. Or when we look at other people, we see them the same way God sees us. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Look at this. According to the riches of his grace. Oh my, 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 my. It's according to the riches of his grace. His goodness, his favor that he's placed on every single one of us. I think sometimes we undermine the goodness of God. I think sometimes we sabotage ourselves because we think that God looks at us the way we look at each other. According to the flesh, according to the corruption of this world, and he doesn't. He's really, really good. And we need to remind ourselves of it. We need to stir ourselves up. We need to confess it to ourselves. We need to share it with other people, and we need to really get it settled in our hearts how good God really is. His goodness is greater than our ability to understand goodness. His favor towards you and me is greater than any ability to understand his favor. Now, I'll give you a little piece of my testimony. I wasn't in church when I got saved. I got saved on my own with a Bible. And I said, God, if you're real, I need to meet you. I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on with me. I apologize. And I said, God, if you're real, I need to meet you. No games. I need to meet you face to face. If you really love me and you really died for me and you're really going to be the king
forevermore, and I'm going to love you and worship you and be in your kingdom, then I want to meet you. Simple as that. I met too many Christian girls that I can make do whatever I want. And it broke my heart that none of them would stand up to me and stick to their Christian morals. And so I said, none of this faith stuff. I need to actually meet you. Because I didn't understand faith at the time. I thought it was just, accept it's true with no proof at all, and I'll never get any proof. I didn't understand it. So I set out to meet the Lord. I determined in my heart I would do whatever the Bible says if he just manifests himself to me. So I pursued him and pursued him and pursued him. Forsake everything. All I did was focus on him morning, noon, and night. And ask for forgiveness for every single thing that I could possibly think of. Anything that was in the way, I got rid of it. Sold all my possessions. I just had a pillow, a blanket, laying on the floor. I mean, I really wanted to focus and nothing else. And I started pursuing him day after day after week after week after week, reading The Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee and going through that book. Well, the day came when I met him. And it was such a dramatic thing. I was taken into outer darkness, and I can't go through the whole testimony. You have to listen to it as I've given it before. And as I was in outer darkness, there was no sight, no sound, no temperature. There was nothing to stimulate the human being of any kind. And you are suspended in nothingness. There's no motion. You can't move anywhere. It's not like you can't flap your arms. You just won't go. You don't even know that you got arms. It's just nothing. Absolutely nothing in my mind was 100% awake. I mean, completely crystal clear. I can remember instantly anything I'd ever thought in my life. Period. There was no exception. Crystal clear was my whole life. And I saw how selfish I really was. How everything was about me. Me, 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 me. I would do things for other people because I had a motive. I wanted something. Well, in that darkness, God showed me my whole life, and I can't go through all of it. And he told me this no more, and he held open a Bible, and he said, this, learn it. And when you speak, speak as I would speak, agape, which means love. So then finally that subsided, and I was going on my life. Well, as I was praying for somebody one day, I started praying for this guy, and I said, Lord, you always manifest when I pray. You always answer my prayers. You're just so faithful in that. But today when I pray, I want to look up and see Holy Spirit descending on me. I didn't have anybody else to tell me anything, right? I only had the Bible. And the Bible said he descends like a dove, right? Just boop, 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 boop. I didn't know any different. And so I'm on my hands and knees praying for this guy, ready to look up to see the Holy Spirit as I'm praying. And God says, you want to see me? Stand up. So I stood up. He says, raise your hands. Strong, powerful voice. I raised my hands. And instantly when I raised my hands, I'm standing in front of Jesus sitting on a throne. And thousands of people are laying on their faces, face straight down on the ground in front of him. And he's the only one sitting on a throne, and everyone else is on their faces before him. We're outside. It's a big wall, and this throne is built right into the wall with two banners on the side of it, all made out of the same stone as the wall, and he's sitting there. And coming out of Jesus were these waves of love that I had never experienced in my whole life. And these waves flowed backwards. They flow out, but they pull you closer to him. Not physically, spiritually. They wash through you. And just wash through me and wash through me. And all these people are on their faces. And the glory and the love of God is just pouring out over all of them. Silent. Absolutely silent, every one of them. Well, I'm so turned on, like a light bulb, way too bright. The glory is so, so strong, I couldn't stand it. It was too much. It was too much. And I said, Lord, I have to bow down like everybody else. He says, you wanted to see me? Stand. His lips didn't even move. He was just sitting on the throne. He never even looked at me. I'm at a 45 off to him. He never even looked at me. He's being God on a throne. says, you want to see me? Stand. So I stood there with my hands up, and finally I couldn't take it anymore. The glory was so strong, I felt like I was going to pop. And so I knelt down. As soon as I knelt down, all of it disappeared. I said, what have I done? And I stood back up as quick as I could and raised my hands. It opened all back up again, and there I was. Everything exactly the same. Same guy laying in front of me on the feet, all the thousands of people, the banners, the chair, everything. One thing changed. Those waves weren't love anymore. They changed. They changed to acceptance, something I've never experienced in my whole life. The acceptance of God, how he really accepted me just the way I was. I didn't need to do anything to be in front of him. I just had to come. And as I was there and those waves of acceptance were washing through me, I am bawling deeper than I've ever bawled in my whole life. I'm just crying in the presence of God, and I'm trying to think, here I am in front of Jesus, I should probably ask him a question. And as I'm trying to ask him a question, I'm thinking about what could I ask him. He spoke to me. You know in Matthew chapter 7, where it says, there's going to be a lot of us that are going to prophesy, do great and mighty works in his name, cast out demons. But he's going to say, go away from me. I never actually knew you. You didn't care to come know me. So that was the call of my heart. And I wasn't even thinking of that at the moment. But as he brought that to my attention, at the second he brought that to my attention, and these waves of acceptance are flowing me, as soon as it came up, my question, he was sitting on his throne and he turned and he looked straight at me. And he just nodded his head. He knew me personally. And I tell you, I thought I was bawling before. I was really bawling then. I mean, that it's just, it wipes you out. It completely wipes you out when God acknowledges you personally. And as I'm there and I'm in the presence of God, I said this to Jesus. I said, Jesus, you need to come back with me so that everybody can meet you and see you, that the Bible's true. And he said, blew me away. He says, I've come to man. Now man must come to me. It's our responsibility to draw near to him, and then he will draw near to us. It's up to us to do that. And so I'm again grappling to try to think of some great question to ask him that I can bring back to everybody. He says this to me. He says, you lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares you. That's what he told me to do. To lay that stuff aside. All those little trappings that stopped me from having that perfectly crystal clear relationship with him. He said, stop it. And then it started disappearing. And I was back in the room with everybody. And everybody in this little room, we were all at a family meeting, praise, worship. Everybody's bawling their eyes out because the glory of God is so strong in this room. It was incredible. It was the first time I really found out how good God really is. He absolutely loves us. He absolutely unconditionally accepts us. It's us that have all the trappings of the world polluting us that stops us from really coming to him, to meet him as he is. He's good, very good. And we all need to magnify his goodness and really magnify him himself. Does that make sense? How many of you would like to have a relationship with a loved one? Let's just not even say a loved one. Let's say a spouse. But it's only in name only. It's only whatever they can do for me, whatever I need, here's my honey-do list, go fix this, go fix that. How many of you, that would be enough of a relationship? For a spouse, wouldn't it be better if it was intimate? If there was an intimate connection between the two of you, right? It's the same way with God. He so desires that intimacy with us. And it's my experience that many of us are very shallow in our intimacy with God. There's a lot more room to spend time with God if we would remove a few things out of our lives. But we'll never know how good he really is if we don't spend time with him. Are you with me? Go with me to Titus. Titus is near the back of the Bible, just before Hebrews and Philemon. It goes Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. In Titus, I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 3 through 8. And this is after Titus is being encouraged. Now, I want to tell you something. Titus was a minister. I would not have wanted his job. I just tell you, I wouldn't have. Titus, just to give you a little background, was the pastor of a church in Crete. Okay, Paul talks about those Cretes. They're gluttons. They're crazy people. They're like the berserks of the Vikings. They're crazy people. They're on an island, the Isle of Crete. And I'm telling you what, they were crazy people on that island. And he was the pastor of that church. Okay? So, man, I just tell you what, he was a better man than me. There's no doubt about it. So Titus, he's young, you know, groomed by Paul, and he's the pastor of this church. Bless God. He's going to have lots of jewels in heaven, I think. But as he's reminding Paul's reminding him to not let anybody take advantage of him and to talk to him about how we are supposed to obey the authorities and lay down all the garbage that's in our hearts. I'm going to start in verse 1, I guess. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and passions, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Look at this. That having been justified by his grace, his favor, his goodness, his person influencing our hearts, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Then he says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constant. I want you to affirm constantly. Stop, look up here. What did he just say he wants us to do? To affirm these things constantly. We have to reassure ourselves. We have to remind ourselves. We have to strengthen ourselves. We have to deliberately do this. I'll read it again. Verse 8. This is a faithful saying, what I just said. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So what are good works again? Shout it out, anybody that knows. Okay, nobody knows. These are what good works are. Good works are because God is so good to you, you are good to others. You love them by giving them food, giving them money, giving them clothing, taking care of their, meeting their needs, solving their problems, being an anchor for them emotionally. You are there for them. Are you with me? That's good works. You do it because God is good, not because you get something out of it. Those are dead works, which I was so guilty of when I stood before the Lord in outer darkness. I really saw how shameful I was that it was all about me, 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 me. And he says, it's not about you. You know what he says? It's about me, 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 me. That's what he says. Because he is in me. He is in you. So his goodness is bestowed on us. He lavishes it upon us. He lavishes his goodness upon us. Let's see, what version was that? I think that might have been Williams. Let me look at it again. I love the way he says that. Let me just change to the Williams translation and see if I can find it real quick. No, I don't see where it is. But this is good what he says here. Look at this. He says in the Williams translation, I'm going to read verse 5 through 7. He says, he saved us not for upright deeds that we have done, but in accordance with his mercy through the bath of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, which he abundantly poured out upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might come into right standings with God through his unmerited favor and become heirs of eternal life in accordance with our hope. You know, I read things like this and I see how hard my heart is sometimes, that these things don't reach me, that I still sometimes do things my way and I'm not in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that I kind of like just take, let him take back seat. I acknowledge that he exists, but I don't take him into my life, into my experiences, that we go together and do things. Because the Holy Spirit is God who is in your heart, influencing you. It's the Holy Spirit who's the one showing you his character and his goodness. He's God on the earth, right? You know, I'll tell you, I'm so silly. Last one. I was with Jesus one time, and I'm looking around, and I'm saying, Jesus, you're so good to us. I was in Dominican Republic at this time. We're in a worship service, and we're all worshiping. I don't understand a word anybody's saying. It's Spanish. But I recognize the melody of the song, right? And so I'm worshiping in English, they're worshiping in Spanish, and the presence of God is so strong. And I'm there. This is so silly. I said, Holy Spirit, you're here in the Dominican Republic. And here's what he said to me. He goes, I am everywhere, you know. And it was like, duh, I don't know why. But I think that sometimes we get so trapped inside of ourselves that we're trying to get God to meet us on our level, and instead of understanding that God is always with me, it's me being trapped by these ugly things of the world and letting them enslave me that I don't acknowledge God as he deserves to be acknowledged. So I just want to remind you guys that part of the grace message is his favor on you. No matter what your life looks like, you can't wreck it. You can't be bad enough that he pulls his grace off of you. His goodness is towards you, and it's never going to be repealed. It's never going to be removed. We look at each other according to the flesh and our experiences and the way we feel and what we're thinking and whether we're in right standing with the people around us or not. But God doesn't do that. He's not involved in that. He's good all the time, and his favor is on you 100% lavishly all the time. It's us that voids his goodness by what we say in our heart and mind, instead of letting him be good. Now remember, it's in the spirit. So that means we have to quiet ourselves down and connect with God to have to experience his goodness and his favor. But if we take the time to start looking in the mirror and start saying, your favor is upon me. I have the favor of God. I am blessed. I have been given every spiritual blessing. And you say it and say it and say it to yourselves, even if it creeps you out as you're staring at yourself in the mirror saying good things about yourself, until it unlocks in your heart and you can accept it as reality. Because when God declares his name, he says himself that he's goodness. Amen? So I just encourage you, another aspect of the grace of God is his unmerited, unearned favor, his goodness on you and in you. And as you understand that, you'll have strength to walk righteously. Remember last week when I said to increase the grace of God means you humble yourself when you're freaking out and you want to get your own way, when you got things bothering you, instead of being swallowed up by that stuff, you lay your face down like all those people in heaven and humble yourself before God, and he will exalt you in due season. He will raise you up. Because when we can let go of the junk and just come into his presence, his blessing just flows out of our lives and to our lives. Are you with me? Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you that your favor is upon us, and that you, Lord, withhold no good thing from us, Lord. Father, I ask that you renew our minds to this truth, that we would speak out loud your truth, Lord, that our minds would be renewed by your truth, Lord, that you've written in this Bible, Lord. And that, Lord, that we can really lay hold of the favor of God, how much you really favor us and like us and want to be with us, Lord. And open up our hearts, Father, that we can truly have an intimate relationship with you. Holy Spirit, thank you for constantly being with us and showing us things we didn't know and revealing the goodness of God to us. Thank you. Jesus, thank you for being grace and truth, that we can trust what you say and what you modeled to us, Lord. Help us, Father, to own this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Everybody stand up. Raise your hands. If you can't stand up, you don't have to, but if you can, please do. And I want you to say this with me out loud, okay? In your big voice. I have the favor of God. Lord, I have your favor. Your favor is upon me. I have your goodness. Your goodness is upon me. Thank you, Father. I'm blessed. I have every spiritual blessing. Wherever I go, you go with me, and I go with you. Lord, glorify yourself through me in this world, in Jesus' name. Amen.